Well, if you got your Bibles, open them up to the book of James. Amen. The fourth chapter. Many, many years ago, when God began to deal with me about the old Adamic nature, it was like a revelation that God had gave me. It was a revelation to me because he was trying to teach me something. And ever since he revealed that to me, there's been nothing but trouble. But it's been my kind of trouble. The reason God revealed it to me, because I was sitting on my front couch. I was talking about this Wednesday morning, Brother Will. I was sitting on my front couch. I had decided that I had money for a bill, but I had decided I was something else I wanted to do with it, Sister Vaughn, that I thought was more important. So Mishkan didn't think it was more important. What I thought was important wasn't important to them. So while I'm sitting there gloating in what I used the money for, they gloated and turning off my gas. So I'm sitting there and I'm binding the devil, Brother Tim. You foul devil. Come out here and turn my gas off, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. Not that the gas got turned back on. Didn't change nothing. It was off. But you should have heard. I was binding every devil from. I bound Slewfoot, and I bound the dragon, and I took authority over demons, and I took authority over all sorcerers and over all kind of stuff. I was binding up everything. You would have thought with all that prayer that something would have happened. Nothing happened. So when I got through with all that bombarding and thinking I'm pulling down strongholds and ripping apart principalities, and I think I done did something. I'm waiting on the man to come back out and turn my stuff back on because I done took authority over the devil. Then God spoke to me, Brother Little John. He said, "Brother, why are you blaming the devil for something that you did? I didn't turn it off, Lord. You didn't pay the bill." I said, "I don't understand what you mean, Lord." I understood very clearly. He said, "The reason they turn your gas off is because you didn't pay the bill. Satan didn't turn it off. Mishkan turned it off." And from that moment forth, I realized something. That I spent more time blaming stuff on things that had no power in my life. And it taught me to accept responsibility for those things that I did do. So I found out the things that I did because I wanted to do them, not because anybody made me do them, Sister Nancy. And that's hard to come to the point to realize, because we'd rather blame it on the devil, or we'd rather blame it on our mothers, or our fathers, or our sisters, or our brothers. We want to blame it on something, but God said you got to look inside yourself and accept responsibility in yourself for what you did. What we need to be doing now in the churches is preparing the people for a battle that they don't even know is coming. There's a battle that's coming, and folks don't know that they're getting ready to fight it. And it's called self. You get ready to have a battle with yourself, and if you don't figure out how to win, you will lose. This battle that's coming your way is more powerful than Satan. He's more wiser than the serpent. He has more wisdom than the devil. He has more power than Slewfoot. He can come up out of the sea quicker than the dragon. And he follows you around 24 hours a day. Ask me how I know. I found myself, Sister Gilmer, in pools that I shouldn't have been in. I found myself in trouble, Sister Paulette, that I could have avoided. But because, Sister Norma, I wasn't able to bring me under subjection to the power of God, I got in it. And then that's why in the fourth chapter of James, in the third verse, that's not where I'm going to preach, but don't worry, I'm not going to keep you very long today. I know tomorrow's a holiday. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. The word amiss is translated with evil intent. See, we tend to ask God. Now I done got myself. See, I'm not gonna look. I done got myself in this mess, Brother Chet. But I'm gonna tell God, Lord, get me out of it. Pray, Brother Will, till big the tears look like big drops of blood, and God ain't moved not one little bit. Not a word from the Lord, because I'm asking amiss. When you ask God to move in a situation that you know you got yourself into, when you ask God, you are asking amiss. You're asking with evil intent. What we should be saying is, Lord, okay, I did it. Forgive me. Now help me get myself together so I can move on and keep it moving. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to find something to blame it on. Let's look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Amen. 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Paul realized something, that he had a thorn in his flesh. And in the midst of realizing this, he called out. He said, Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me? And in the process of saying, why have you sent Satan to buffet me? He wasn't actually talking about Satan per se, because we know here's a man who raises the dead, who opens up blind eyes, opens up deaf ears. So the least of his worries is Satan. But what he was saying, why have you allowed this mindset, this stuff to affect me the way that it's affecting me? I don't care what it is, Brother Will. When I try to do good, it seems like evil or the nature to do depravity is always with me. Because there is a battle that's about to go on in your life that has to do with you, that Satan has nothing to do with. It's going to try to steal your peace. It'll try to take your joy. It'll try to take the strength. It'll try to steal your longevity. It'll try to steal everything that's in your life that God has given you, less life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But the enemy has come to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy is not Satan. Your enemy, whether you want to realize it or not, is you. I found out my enemy was me. I'm my biggest problem. Sometimes, Sister Norma, I need to just take myself and call Brother Tim, Brother Rutherford, hey, can y'all come over here and just chain me up for a couple of hours? Just come chain me up for a couple of hours till I get my mind together. Because we don't understand. Folks is looking for Satan to come up out of the sea, and the Antichrist had already come up out of the people. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. But he giveth more grace. But the good thing about it is God giveth more grace, greater grace, change or free undeserved favor. God giveth us more favor than that which we ought to have. He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, those who are lowly and humble themselves before God. It says, submit yourself therefore to God, or the creator of all things. Your God is a creator of all things. Submit yourself or give yourself unto him. And then it says, resist the devil. The word resist means to set yourself in battle array. Means to prepare yourself for battle. We're not preparing ourselves for battle. We've got to prepare ourselves for the battle that's at us right now. He's not coming to us, but he's already here, trying to separate us and divide us and to beat us down and to make us think that we'll never accomplish what God has promised in our lives. Trying to destroy our families and our churches and our businesses and these type of things. Not from the outside, but from the inside. It says resist the devil. And when we say devil, we think it's talking about resist, you know, the guy with the red horns. Lord have mercy. But see what the devil means in the Greek here, it means you have to resist, or you have to put yourself in battle array against false accusers. The word devil or Satan, or they mean so many different words. They don't actually mean that it's talking about the devil, but it's talking about a type of mindset or a type of mental thinking. When it's talking about the devil here, it's talking about false accusers. You have to set yourself in battle array against false accusers. I bet you think because I said false accusers, think you talk about people talking against you. Wrong. I'm talking about you, false accuser. In yourself, telling yourself you'll never matter. You'll never make it. You'll never be blessed. You'll never be rich. You'll never be healed. You'll never get delivered. You'll never receive the blessings that God has for you. Well, it gets like that sometimes, because sometimes I look out and I say, Lord, did I miss you? Did I make a wrong turn someplace? Why am I in this place? Why am I in this circumstance? But you know what's so good about the undeserved favor of God? God already knew. When I fell down that flight of stairs into that swamp, God already knew I was going to fall, and he made provisions. But we have to accept the provisions, and then we have to make the change. So what you have to do is, in your resisting, or you set yourself in battle array, and you prepare yourself to resist that type of mindset, then you have to flee. Or what the word flee is, it means to vanish. Remember when Jesus was out in the crowd and they wanted to lay hands on him? Everybody was trying to take Jesus out the box. They wanted to kill Jesus. He was right in the midst of all of them, Brother Leonard. They wanted to just take him up. We're going to just rip his head off as soon as we find him. And he just walked right on up between them, Mother Crandall. He just slid right on, right down to the middle of them. They was looking for him, and he was right there all the time. He made himself invisible. You have the ability to become invisible. How do you become invisible? By shutting down your mindset and not allowing your emotions to control your lifestyle, not allowing your feelings to control what you think and how you praise and how you worship God. What Jesus did, he became invisible unto them, not to be invisible, sis, but he became invisible devil because he didn't allow what they had in plan for him to affect him, that he did not do the work of God. So we plan, we make plans, and we fight. You can't wait on somebody to fight for you. You're going to have to fight for yourself. Because you're going to find yourself on a mountaintop, and there ain't going to be no way down, and there's not going to be anywhere can get to you. And you're going to have to know God, and you're going to have to know who you are and what you are and what God has planned for your life and what God has established in your life and what God has called you to and what God has promised you. And then you're going to have to fight the good fight. It says, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Clean up your works. God told me, son, you got to get your work cleaned up. Because we get to a place where we think we're perfect and we got everything under control. God said, you got to get your works cleaned up. Because even though you pray and you fast and you seek God and you try to draw nigh to me, it's always going to be something that's laying in between you, trying to keep you away from me. So lately I've been spending more time binding my flesh. Let me think about Satan. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. My God. Did it say double-minded? I better leave that one alone. Just how I used to get up here and brag about how women got two brains and men only got one. But I'm going to leave that alone because y'all do have two sides to y'all brains. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Or what it's talking about, you have to triumph in all things. I know it sounds like it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy be turned to heaviness. But what it's actually saying is, in the midst of your laughter, in the midst of your mourning, in the midst of your joy, in the midst of your heaviness, you learn to humble yourself in the sight of God. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, that he speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver. We have to be careful. It's easy to judge somebody else because they don't come up to your standards. But Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Who the heck are we, he says. I spend so much time looking at me and my mistakes and my flaws and my screw-ups and my hang-ups that I don't have time to be focusing on yours. Because if I take on yours, then that's more responsibility that I got to deal with. But nevertheless, people are taking on other people's stuff. In other people's business. I got a whole lot of business, Brother Leonard. A whole lot. Good and bad. When I get through sorting it out, sis, I ain't got time to get in yours. And if I think you finna bring me some, I'm gonna run up the other aisle. Because I'm already weighed down. I don't need no help, Fatima. My God, I feel like I'm already crawling like this. I'm trying to get the dead man off my back. And here you are trying to give me your dead man. But some folks like carrying around dead things. Somebody go get that in a minute. He said he got it. So, what do we do? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth is not it, to him it is sin. Doesn't say sins. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth or has the understanding and the knowledge to do what is right in the eyes of God and decides that he don't want to do it, to him the old nature is his master. That's what it's saying. That's the translation. The old nature becomes his master. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. When you hear folks preach about the devil and God, laugh at him. Because he ain't never been your master. You ever been growing up and mama made you mad? I'm going to stay away from Sean. Mama made you mad, and the first thing come out of your mouth is, I'm my own man. I told my mother that. I said, I'm my own man. I was about 16. You going to come in this house? Da, 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 da. I said, I am my own man. I went out. I came back. It was this bag sitting out on the front porch, front of the door. I said, well, she must want me to throw the trash out. I got to looking in the bag, and I go, it's my stuff. So I start beating on the door like the Flintstones. Hey, let me in. None of my sisters wouldn't, brothers wouldn't let me in. Because mama told them, first one go to that door, going to end up out there with it. But I was my own man. I'm trying to get back in the house now, ma. Because I done figured it out. She done tossed me out the house. So she comes to the door. She opened the door. She say, can I help you? I say, yeah, let me in. She go, oh, you your own man. You your own man. That means you got your own money, your own food. You can take care of yourself. Is that what you're telling me? She made me grovel. I groveled my way back in that house. We say, I'm my own man. Or I'm my own woman. And you know what that means? Exactly what's that saying. When you say to yourself that I'm my own man or I'm my own woman, that's what that's saying. You knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him or to her, it becomes sin. Where you have allowed your old nature to have authority and dominion over you, and all it wants to do is separate you from God. It says that the old nature is enmity with God. It hates God. It wants you to hate God. It wants to separate you from your God. If it separates you from God, it separates you from a God of peace. If it separates you from God, separates you from a God of joy. If it separates you from God, it separates you from a God of love. If it separates you from God, it separates you from a God of mercy. If it separates you from God, it separates you from a God of compassion. If it separates you from God, it separates you from a God of strength and a God of joy and a God of faith and a God of long suffering. If it separates you from God, it separates you from everything that God has given you in your life to give you life. Everybody stand. My flesh has taught me some very important lessons. You thought I was going to say God, didn't you? My flesh has taught me some very important lessons. It's taught me my weaknesses and my flaws. And God has showed me my strengths. But what I found out, when you go through and you're tried like a fire, you have to decide whom you're going to serve and who's going to be your master. And I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of times my master became my flesh. But let me tell you what happens when your master becomes your flesh. You pay a horrible price. Amen. This morning, as we get ready to prepare ourselves to leave, as we get ready to go into this holiday, don't seem much like a holiday, but that's what it is, nevertheless. There are things going on in our lives that we need God to supply and give us peace from, and to strengthen us and to fortify us and to let us know that regardless of what we're going through, that we can make it. However we feel or whatever we can imagine, God is there for us and with us. Sometimes I reach out and I say, God, if you could just come sit by me just for a second and let me know that you're still with me, I think I can make it. And then I hear the word of the Lord say, you're going to make it anyway. Because whether you can see me or feel me not, I'm here. He says, I'm right along. He says, I'm here right along with my brother. Adam, I'm here. See, that's why God wanted us to understand in the book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first, it says, for the first man, Adam, was earthy, natural. The second man, Adam, was spiritual, heavenly. Whether you want to believe it or not, there is actually two experiences going on in your mind. One wanting to do good, and one wanting to work evil. And I don't know, you might be supernatural. You might be one of those persons or one of those that'll never lend themselves over to doing the bad. You might always do the good. I ain't one of them. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there. It's a fight. It's a battle. But as long as you know what you're fighting for, then you have a reason to fight. Amen. So I want to anoint folks this morning that want us having a struggle in their flesh with anything. Peace, joy, whatever it may be. I want you to come stand across the front. And we're going to anoint you real quick. Amen.
Speak, Lord. Realize, my children, that the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And the one comes to separate you from my standards, from my anointing, from my way of living. But I have come that ye might have abundant life. But even as my servant has said, there are two experiences going on at the same time in the same body. But I am come that ye might be able to serve me with your flesh as well as your spirit. But continue in my word, for therein is the revealed truth of the two natures. The war with Satan is over. I defeated him for all time on Calvary. But there's a new war, and that war is beginning within you. understand what has been said unto you, that you might flow within the word of God, and that the word of God might heal you. It might bring you peace. It might bring you joy. It might cause you to understand that you might have love one for another, that you might reach the fullness that I have set for thee. And if you continue to follow me, I will be with thee in the midst of your despair. I will be with thee when thou art depressed. I will be with thee when thou art down and out. I will be with thee when you are alone, and knowing that I am with you always, even until the end, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father,